Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning. Welcome to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, who restored us to eternal life in the resurrection of Christ, grant your people constancy in faith and hope, that we may never doubt the promises which we have learned from you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You know, Father, I think it's worth at the outset kind of giving a shout-out just today to some older members of our community, but who are likely some of our listeners. So today's the traditional feast of St. Paschal Baelen. And what is now the sort of Des Moines Singles, Catholic Singles Group, which has gone by many names, right, once upon a time was called the Baelen Club.
The Baelen Club.
And prior to that, it had been known as the Campion Society. It used to take saint names. But the reason this matters, right, is because my dad used to run that, and Now I have a mom. So those of you, so this is both for the young and the old. Those of you that met your spouse that way, you know, you might have a son as a priest someday. And those of you that are still looking, there's hope.
But the good part that you said in Spanish, San Pascual Baelen, also is understanding as a dancer.
Right.
Good dancer. You know, it's very eloquent. Very good. Very good point. Father, also we have this coming Friday, we have an amazing saint, San Bernardino of Siena. He is a very remarkable missionary labor guy, you know?
So St. Bernardine of Siena was this really remarkable character, whom I came to know, frankly. You know, he's on our calendar, but I think a lot of us don't notice him. I'd certainly been in seminary several years before I even knew he existed, really. But I came to know him because of a lovely little book that, if you find old copies of, they're worth reading, Illustrissimi, which was a book written by John Paul I, so that pope that was only pope for a month, right, between Paul VI and John Paul II. But John Paul I was a kind of a literary guy, and he wrote this book that were like letters to people he'd never met. So he has letters largely to authors and characters. Like, he has a letter to Mark Twain in there. You know, so this Italian priest, right, who's writing a letter to Mark Twain, this Italian priest who writes a letter to G.K. Chesterton, and this Italian priest who writes a letter to Bernardine of Siena. And the big takeaway from the letter, right, is that Bernardine sort of so captured who Jesus was that his name was simply always on his lips. And he used a line that I use in the confessional all the time with people. If you want to stop taking the Lord's name in vain, start taking it on purpose.
Wow.
If you want to stop taking the Lord's name in vain, start taking it on purpose. Now, we can do this in a kind of a magic way. Like, I don't know if you've ever had this, but I know this Lent I heard for the first time in the confessional. It must have been a kid's first time, because I could hear they had the sheet, right? They're reading off the sheet. And I said, all right, now make a good act of contrition. And the person said, OMG, I am heartily sorry.
OMG.
Now, of course, it's sweet, but right, the mistake here is saying, oh my God, in that context, is not just not wrong, it's a very good thing to do, right?
Correct.
Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee. We certainly wouldn't say the Lord Jesus was taking God's name in vain when nailed to the tree. He cried, my God, my God. Like, he didn't need to just cry, MG, MG, why have you forsaken me? But rather, that we're so attentive, so intentional with our use of the holy name, that it doesn't become just a watchword or a byword, let alone a swear, but becomes the most natural connection we have to the one that we love most.
One of the things that you mentioned, the name of the God in vain, also it's for me, because I have been heard also to a sacrament of reconciliation, it's when the people asking God about something, but they did not follow up, you know?
Ah, right.
God, help me, but I once continue in my road, in my line. So that is also like a fake promise to God.
Right.
Faking call God in my life when I don't want to follow it.
Most of the time, we reduce reverence for the holy name to just simply like couth speech or something like this, which is a big mistake on several levels. But as regards the holy name itself, right, far more offenses are committed against the holy name by claiming divine authorship, divine authority, divine approval, like for my project, when in fact this is not a thing that I can reasonably claim, than by, you know, people cussing when they stub their toe or something, right? This is not like giving permission for you to cuss when you stub your toe, but it misunderstands what the command is for. What St. Bernardine says, I think this is a great insight. He says, we naturally have reverence for the names of those whom we love. And he uses the example of a widow. He says, a widow speaks the name of her dead husband with tenderness. And this is the same kind of tenderness with which we should speak the name of Jesus every time we say it. I've watched this even with my own father, both my mother and then his mother, my grandmother. They both had rather unusual names. So my mother was called Virgin, which is like the Irish version of Virginia or something like that. Uh-huh. And then my grandmother was called Wilda. I've only run into a couple other Virgins my whole life. Occasionally you run into a Wilda, but because I don't hear them very often, when I run into those names, I feel something. Like for a moment, it's almost like they're present to me again. And I've been in the room with my dad when I've caught someone else saying mom's name and it startles him. It's almost like a pinprick or something, right? The name itself has an effect. That's the effect that the name of Jesus is meant to have. To that end, one thing that I can't recommend enough, right, to our listeners, because I know this really just fell into disuse for years, but I think is a great way to recover a sense of devotion to the holy name. You know, during the Mass, when the name of Jesus is mentioned, we're meant to bow our head. Just slightly, a simple bow, but just a slight bow of the head. You'll notice priests often do this at the end of the collect prayers because they're long, right? And it lists all the Trinity, the same thing. We should do this when we hear the name of Jesus, whether when we're in the liturgy or not. Now, you don't want to do it in an absurd way. If you're in a Bible study and you're saying Jesus every third word, you don't need to look like a bobblehead. That's not the idea. But in ordinary speech, if every time you just nod your head a little bit, Muslims don't worry about people thinking they're strange when they say peace be upon him every time they hear the name of the Prophet Muhammad. Right. So it's not clear why we should be treating the name of Jesus with less respect when we believe he's God than Mohammedans should when they only believe their guy's a prophet.
Very interesting. Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid. Welcome back to Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid. We're speaking about healing in the name of Jesus Christ, but also we have a very remarkable saying this coming Saturday, Father.
Yeah, so Eugène de Maisonneuve, was the founder of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, the OMI fathers, of whom the late Cardinal George of Chicago was one of their more illustrious members. They've got a big shrine to Our Lady of the Snows just across the river from St. Louis in Illinois. That's where I came to know them mostly during my years serving in St. Louis, and the Oblate seminarians would often come to our place for school. But the reason I raise him is because St. Eugene himself, but especially in his family, suffered terrifically under mental illness.
Wow.
And so he's become a kind of saint, along with others like D'Infra and Jeanne de Chantal, right? But for people and families who struggle with mental illness, and I don't know about you, Father, but I encounter in the course of my own pastoral work every single day, people struggling with various degrees of mental illness. And while we, of course, utilize all of the therapeutic methods that are available to our care. And, you know, I work closely with people's therapists in the course of doing direction and confession. But, you know, just like the role that mental illness has to play in the life of the church today.
And this is a very interesting point, Father. With this current season of war, violence, and increasing more anxiety, tension in the mental senses as well from the people, has been created in a very unstable mental condition. And these mental conditions, unstableness, create a lot of misunderstanding and misinterpretation about reality, about conflicts, and obviously create more damage than a little bit relief. As you mentioned clearly, in our current Catholic people of God have been, may I say, into a spiritual attack in terms of our minds and a mental approach in terms of that reality. When we approach the sacrament of reconciliation, obviously God is mercy, God is compassion, but at the same time, we have to look in carefully. This kind of mental suffering has been burdening a lot of the souls and making tendency for isolation. So mental illness connected to isolation and connected, obviously, with completely disturbance about God's reality and their reality itself.
You know? So St. Eugene was himself a refugee during the French Revolution. And this would look very much like many of the young people we have here in Des Moines,
right,
whose families have fled persecution in Africa, in East Asia, or in various parts of Latin America, right?
Correct.
And his mother, it's not clear exactly what happened, whether she was a victim of assault or whatever it was, but she was clearly messed up based on whatever had happened back home. And so she had this really very unhealthy relationship with her son. He's a great patron for our seminarians whose families sometimes struggle with their vocation because it wasn't clear how wild his family always together was about this. And on some level, you know, the young Eugene, when he first entered seminary, maybe didn't have the best of motives. He just wanted to get away from a crazy mom, right? But that didn't mean God couldn't make him into a saint and even make him into a saint as a priest, even if when he started, he didn't start off with the best of motives.
You mentioned a very interesting point about refugees, about migrants as well. Nobody knows how traumatic it is to move in from a native country to the different country looking for a better life. And it's a traumatized experience for many of our brothers and sisters, especially in this case that we have been approaching Latino community that join us in our Des Moines diocese as well. Many of those issues relate with violence, domestic violence, or different kind of abusing with alcohol or another kind of substances, create obviously by these traumatic experiences. These mental illnesses have been increasing more and more and more, unfortunately. And this is also the right of the moment that we need to approach God for the divine remedy, for the divine healing to console our soul as well.
Oh, right. So we tend to make this sort of an either or sort of a distinction. So either a person is, has chosen booze or drugs, or they've chosen God. When in fact, anybody who's ever walked with someone on the road to recovery knows that for a while they're stuck in the middle, right?
Absolutely.
And often when they reach for the bottle or reach for the pipe or reach for the syringe, what they're really reaching for is God.
Absolutely. And you mentioned a very interesting point. Sometimes the people look this kind of mental illness only as the iceberg analogy, you know? Only the top. He's alcoholic. He's a drug addict. He's abuser. But something happened behind surface that had been stimulate, promote those kind of disorders. That is the critical part where the evil attack to disturb any kind of misunderstanding about my parents' love, disassociation about affections as well, create a serious disturbance in the person, dichotomy between my reality, my mental reality, and all the environment. In other words, I don't know if the appropriate word to use here is an schizophrenic about interpretation reality.
Right. Not schizophrenic in the clinical sense, but in the classical sense, as in severed, schismed.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a schismed personality. I think, you know, as you talk, what I hear, or what strikes me, right, is that most young people, I think this is just developmental, most young people, as they develop more of their own agency, struggle with their parents' decisions. And so then they question afterwards, like, well, mom, did you really have to do that? Dad, did you really have to do that? And that's normal. And in relatively healthy, stable circumstances, whatever part of the world you're from, that's just going to happen. But when it's augmented by, like, the decision that mom and dad had to make was for us to pick up everything and leave, or go from being fairly affluent in one country to very poor in another.
Exactly.
The kid feels like this has all been sort of put upon them, and they had no agency. They didn't, in important ways. But the parents often felt like they didn't have agency either, which is why they had to leave. But if you're a kid or an adolescent, you're still trying to figure all this out. That's not immediately clear. All you know is you lost everything you wanted, and you're in this place you don't really want to be. And understandably, then, all you know to do is act out.
Part of my approaching when we have this kind of circumstances with the youth people and looking for a better life, easy life, and quick life, a quality life, in other words, I ask the parents, please tell them story about how was your beginning before you came to States. How was the origin? In which kind of condition? I ask him then, do you remember your grandparents suffered for any kind of depression at that time? Just go early in the morning to work in the field, period. Oh, do you need any pill? Or you have internet Wi-Fi difficulties to connect yourself? Any kind of cell phone? Nothing. It's a real life. Now we have a sophisticated, complicated life.
When I was on vacation a month or so ago, I deliberately snuck onto a work crew to go pick strawberries down in Florida one day. And I just wanted the experience of working the work crew with these migrants from Mexico. And it was striking how right out of the gate, several of the sort of habitual things that you would do when you're starting a work day like that, they all said, well, this is what my grandpa did. And this is what my dad did.
Simple to say that. Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid. Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. This coming Sunday, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 to 29, help us to understand not only these kind of circumstances about our mentality, but also to have a little bit far away to figure it out all our concerns and difficulties, the opening heart and mind to listen to God's voice.
That's exactly right. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever loves me will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful, beautiful. Also, we have a piece of our Eucharistic prayer, you know?
Right. So the peace here, this is also the reason that the bishop uses uniquely the greeting, peace be with you. The bishop, having the fullness of the priesthood, speaking most directly in the person of Christ, peace be with you, and he breathed on them, right? Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. So every Mass, right, the priest prays to Jesus, so the grammatical person shifts here, right? So he's no longer addressing the Father. In fact, his eyes should be cast down to the sacrament in front of him because that's what he's addressing. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not upon our sins, but on the faith of your church. This is like that moment, and then the peace of the Lord be with you always. That's really the peace that's called for in the Mass. The exchange with between the members of the assembly is an option. It was an option that was widespread before and I think widely misunderstood. It's been fascinating for me to watch as this has returned to the Mass somewhat, what people get it and what people don't. I wrote a bulletin column about this several weeks ago saying, you know, I've not restored this partly because we still have some very vulnerable members of our community because of the community that I personally oversee, but partly because I'm not sure anybody got it to begin with. And if shaking hands with your neighbor does not increase your Eucharistic faith, you need to not be doing it. And what was very funny was there was another priest who was saying Mass that same weekend in but he clearly didn't read the bulletin. So, but the point here, right, is not sort of the right or the wrong way to say Mass. The point here is that the Lord Jesus' peace, he says this very clearly himself, is not the same as the world gives, which is why simply sort of fellow greeting is not the best image or icon that we can have of the peace of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. The peace that the world gives, well, it's like that of the saints and martyrs, right? It's the peace of the martyr who goes to her death singing. It's the peace of Saint Damien tending the leper on Molokai. It's the peace of the missionary who leaves home and all out of love for the Lord Jesus. And if that isn't the peace that we're expressing at Mass, we probably should be doing something else.
But at the same time, it's that same words that the priest said to his family, to his country,
right,
and to everybody to say, only I going to praise God and accepting his call.
You know, the promise of the Spirit here is both a looking forward to the day of Pentecost, right? As the story is told, that's what we're pointing to. But in the church's own cycle here, this is because the promise of the Spirit is what allows us to be church, right? So it's the action of the Holy Spirit that transforms the bread and the wine into the body and blood of the Lord. It's the action of the Holy Spirit that made you and I priests. It's the action of the Holy Spirit that transformed the waters the night of the vigil and made them a vehicle for grace and holy baptism. It's the action of the Spirit by which all of our young people that are receiving confirmation this spring will be receiving the seal. The Spirit is the one who's active and present in the lives of our faithful. And so this promise of the Spirit is really a promise to remain. To remain with us even into the end of the age.
And keep us in line about that he is in control. Even if something happened in our life, several storms in a spiritual, physical, and emotional manner, he is in control.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I think it's important, friends, in this Eastertide and this sort of spring season cycle where we often have first communions and confirmations and graduations and weddings and all the things that attach to this time of year, to keep in mind the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When there's a Holy Spirit moment a-coming, like confirmation or something like that, the men that will be ordained to the diaconate, the priesthood this spring, those of us supporting them, to prepare as the apostles did, to fast and to pray. You know, novena, the custom of novena isn't just like because we say weird prayers over and over again. It comes from this period of the days of fasting before Pentecost. So pray and fast in the days before the Spirit's coming that you might be made most ready for the gift that he longs to bring.
The advocate, the Holy Spirit, the advocate. And sometimes we are in need each moment of our life to procure the action and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. That means discernment of spirits, you know? Not everything that came to our mind is the right thing.
It is the right thing. That's exactly right. Well, friends, be mindful of the role of the Holy Spirit in your lives this day, this week, and keep in heart and mind all that is good and true and beautiful. Father, do you have any thoughts for our listeners before we go on discernment?
The discernment is very, very, very clear from St. Ignatius of Loyola. Peace in your heart means God is present with you. Peace in your heart is God present with you. When any kind of turbulence, any kind of anxious, any kind of discouragement in your heart is not the right moment to take decisions. Mm-hmm. We must wait to move in a serene scenario to breathe the action and presence of the Holy Spirit.
This is the peace that the Lord speaks of in the gospel. It's not simply the absence of external conflict. Oftentimes that peace comes in the midst of great external turmoil.
Correct.
But internally, we have the surety, the certainty that what's going on is beyond ourselves.
Approaching our ending program, Father, by the way, send us with the Holy Spirit.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Be not afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you.
Be not afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.